Human beings are known as Manush in Sanskrit, mind-oriented beings. The animals and the trees, they follow their instincts. And that's how the course of their life progresses. Human beings are mind-oriented beings. Generally, we follow our mental inclinations. And while we always want to guide and goad those inclinations towards a very sentient place, one basic question that arises is, what is a healthy mind? So many people talk about mental wellness, mental well-being, psychic balance, emotional balance. Those are all very vague terms. What do they mean? Does it mean just pampering yourself and doing what you feel like doing? Or is there a more critical definition of what it is to be mentally healthy? According to the yogis, each and every jivatman, each and every unit being, is an expression of the One, that singular unifying force that emanates various manifestations, and here we are. But how to keep that mind, how to cultivate in a healthy way. According to the yogis, a healthy mind, one perspective on what is a healthy mind, is the mind that's free of all complexes. There are so many complexes that rattle human existence. Fear complex, superiority complex, defeatist complex, inferiority complex, shyness. So many complexes riddle the human mind. From loneliness to not feeling loved when really you are loved. And it's those things that detract from who we are, what we can be. Because those complexes sit in the mind and they're telling a person, you know, you're not strong enough to do this, you're not able enough to do that. Or maybe it's telling you that it's giving you too much gusto, oh, I'm better than someone, or I deserve this, feelings of entitlement. All those types of complexes bring a person out of balance and ultimately invite dis-ease or psychic discomfort. The art and science of yogic meditation is the process of ridding the mind of those complexes. Those are just impositions that jade and make our vision foggy. that distorts who we think we are. Some people live their whole life based on those types of complexes. Especially happens with some of the more famous people we see in society. They're getting their complex not just from their self, but the whole society is also imposing that on them. That you're so great or you're so this. And they have troubles because of it. Ultimately, our definition of ourselves, of our existential place, comes from a deep space within. And a deep connection to something that's greater than ourselves. And when we really strike home with that feeling and that meditative quality, that I am a divine child under the great sky, that I have a place, a rightful place in this world, and I've come here to serve others and use my talents for the well-being of those around me. When that gets really imbibed in every breath, every cell, every pore of your existence, then those complexes, as much as they try to cling to you, they drift away because they're not being fed. They dissipate. And that gives a very good stature of mind. It creates a very healthy mind. Because those complexes are not grounded in anything strong. They say superiority complex, really what's behind a superiority complex is someone feeling inferior. And because they feel inferior, they need to superimpose themselves as being better than others. Until finally they meet someone who they think is really better than them, and then they got their jaw on the floor because they feel like they've been defeated. So it's a never-ending cycle of false justification, false sense of self. And all the complexes are like that. It's like living in a house of cards. There's no stability. And with our meditative practice, more than anything else, that's what yoga is about, ridding the mind of complex. It's not about touching the toes or inverting or anything else. All those bodily movements are just enough to get the glandular system balanced so that they're creating a platform for a healthy mind to subsist. And when we get that sense of balance psychically, that sense of freedom of complex, that I am who I am and I'm moving towards my cherished goal fearlessly, that gives great sustenance. And that's when we start to feel what the greater definition of yoga is all about, of unifying unit mind with grand mind, with cosmic consciousness, with that all-permeating flow. In a recent seminar, someone asked, well, what is that? What unification? And we decided that if you take a glass and you invert it and you take it down to the depths of the ocean, then the 6 or 4 or 9 ounces of fluid that's inside that inverted glass is the unit being. And the vast ocean outside the barriers of that glass is the greater cosmos. And there's just a thin wall separating the two. And the lifting of the glass off the floor is the dissipating the grip of the human ego that allows oneself to realize there's something greater than themselves. And that allows for a great, refreshing flow of realization, of connection. Some people think, oh, by lifting a glass, I'll lose myself. You don't lose, you gain yourself. It's all gain, there's no loss. The only thing you lose is all those petty feelings of greed and selfishness and whatever else. It happens to everybody. We all have these things. That's the challenge of human life, overcoming them. And the more we're able to overcome, the more we meditate and breathe with that whole cosmic cycle, inculcating that with every respiration, the more we are complex free, and that is very empowering, very forceful, very healthy. Those who are creating their mental stature based on one complex or another, when any little or minor wave of life comes, oh, they're spread all over the place. They lose their equipoise. But those who are based in something deeper, the big waves of life can come, but they stand strong. They're fine. They're unhindered by those things. They just rather they move through them. Yogis say obstacles are a helping force of life. And as we have a balanced mind, we can ride from one obstacle to the next and gain more and more strength and vision. So the concept of mental wellness in a general materialistic society of, well, whatever, can sound, so there's all different things that are said. But it's way beyond the sense of pampering oneself. In fact, one can say pampering it only brings on more problem. It's finding that wholesome, inherent, intrinsic value of who we are and rooting into that deeply. Not being fooled by the false facades and finding our inner essence in life. And when we do that, we feel connected, and that does rid the complexes. Complex-free life. We cultivate that with our breath. And more than that, our ideation. What do we think we are in this universe? I am part of that supreme cosmos. And I've come here to get success and help others do the same. All this type of thoughts and this type of thinking, this type of proper ideation, our conception of self, our relationship with those around us, that's the best way to overcome all complexes. Because when you're connected to that strongest, greatest force in this universe, then what can be fearful? What can be difficulty? Like being in the arms of your older brother or sister when you were a kid, or some other person who you really felt comfortable with, and you thought, oh, now my problems are over. I don't have any problems. I'm in safe hands. Same thing with always living like that when we realize it. Of letting our unit mind connect with something great and deep. And we all may conceive of this in different ways, and that's a-okay, that's fine, that's healthy. But we should always try to move beyond the materialistic stickers and self-imposed rituals of who we think we are and find a very clean, open, vast conception of self. That doesn't hinder others' growth nor stifle our own. Then the mind is free, dynamic, energetic, positive, buoyant. That complex free state is a breath of fresh air for every human being, and we should always try and achieve that night and day. Breathe on and on, ideate on and on, and move on to that very clean, brilliant platform in life. Namaskar.